Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas. Thanks for tuning in. Tonight, we've got a special journey in store, and it's a definite favourite of mine. We'll be setting out on a tour of our magnificent solar system. Though we all have places we call home, maybe a house or an apartment, a town or city, our solar system is home to all of us in a much grander sense. And it's a home that's full of wonder and intrigue. So tonight, not only will we fly by planets, moons, and asteroid belts, but we'll learn some of their history and mythology. Now, if you'd like to be the first to know about everything coming up on Get Sleepy each week, you may not be aware, but we have a weekly newsletter that tells you exactly that. The team and I will also be sharing our best sleep tips and all other Get Sleepy news and updates. So don't miss out. Subscribe to our free newsletter simply by going to the homepage of our website. That's getsleepy.com. And if you'd like to support us and help us keep Get Sleepy on the air for a long time to come, then the best way to do this is by signing up to our premium feed. You'll get an exclusive bonus episode every single Thursday and access to our entire back catalogue of stories and meditations. There are zero ads, and you get a 7-day free trial to try it out and make sure you're happy. If you'd like to learn more, go to getsleepy.com/support or use the link in the show notes. So, before we begin this interplanetary adventure, let's take a moment to relax. Imagine you are sitting comfortably in your very own space pod. It's shaped like a mound with a flat silver bottom and rounded sides and top. The sides are made of glass, which gives you a 360-degree view of everything around you. Inside, there is a wide, plush seat that cradles you softly. To your left is a flat control panel with little flashing buttons and a display screen. You can use this to move the seat in any direction to get a better glimpse of something outside. Around you are soft pillows you can put behind your back or head to get more comfortable along your journey. Your space pod is cozy and secure. It will allow you to travel great distances in the blink of an eye. You can stop and look at anything you pass for as long as you'd like. You'll be completely safe as you orbit a planet or travel through the rocky expanse of the asteroid belt. You may return home at any time, or stay and watch the Martian sunset from the comfort of your personal pod. Now take a moment to nestle down into the seat. If you'd like, press the little flashing button on your side to recline it until you're laying back and looking out the top of the pod. Do you see the clouds drifting across the sky above? Well, that's where our journey will begin. So sit back, relax, and in just a few seconds, we will be soaring through the upper atmosphere. From here, you have a clear view down to Earth. Currently, your pod is travelling at an altitude of more than 22,000 miles above the surface, which puts it in geosynchronous orbit. That means your humble craft is matching the rotation of the planet below. Through the glass, you have a satellite's perspective of your home and its geography. It fills your view completely, as though you were watching a film play out on a large screen just feet away. Africa and the Americas cut jagged lines into the oceans around them. It is nighttime across Europe. Little spider webs of gold crisscross the continent, illuminating its populous cities. Lights twinkle over London and Amsterdam. Prague and Budapest are settling down for a good night's sleep. You imagine people are still out and about in Madrid and Barcelona, perhaps finishing up their evening meal. But from this altitude, the comings and goings of individuals happen unseen. It is the shifting weather patterns that catch your eye, like the wisps of clouds moving over Italy and Greece. You contemplate the different scale of things in space. Time seems to move more slowly here. Rainstorms in the Amazon and blowing winds across the Sahara are but a blip on the great green and blue canvas below you. As your pod begins to rise out of orbit, the edges of the Earth come into focus through the window. You watch the outline shift from curved in the distance to completely circular as your home transforms to a sphere before your eyes. Smaller and smaller it becomes as you move farther away. From up here, the cares of everyday life seem distant. Before you is a breathtaking planet, no bigger now than a toy globe. It seems to float on a sea of black, speckled here and there with stars. Its emerald green and azure blue are striking against the celestial backdrop. The ever-shifting clouds provide a mesmerizing scene in white and grey, overlaid on the rich colours beneath them. When you can no longer make out the shapes of continents, or the subtle border between land and sea, you turn your gaze another direction. There, in the distance, is your next stop. The planet Venus, named for the Roman goddess of love and beauty. It is truly a sight to behold. Being of similar size and mass, Venus is often called Earth's sister planet. If you were to look up into the night sky at home, Venus would appear as the brightest object after the moon. It is so bright, in fact, you can sometimes see it at dawn and dusk, a little glowing dot beyond the faded light of day. From your pod, Venus stands out against the velvety black of space, like a marble shrouded in silk. The atmosphere is milky. Here and there are swathes of peach, beige, and yellow, which hint at the inhospitable ground below. Scientists who have studied Venus have found it to be covered in lava plains and craters, with temperatures hot enough to melt lead. But clouds hang like curtains above its surface, obscuring its true nature. From up here, it seems soft and gentle, delicate almost. Venus is a planet shaped by the slow dance of its rotations. It only spins a single time in what would be 243 Earth days. If you lay down to sleep for one night on Venus, your night would last for most of an Earth year. You might doze off in January and wake up to the rising of the sun as people back home are turning their calendar pages to September. But once you awoke, you would experience a stretch of seemingly endless daytime until the following June. It is a place of great extremes, of night and day, sun and shadow. And with a final glance at its secretive face, it is time to move on to Mercury. Like Venus, Mercury has no moons. It is a planet alone, orbiting the Sun in its own special course. But despite not having its own moon, it looks like one to an observer in space. From your pod, you can see the uneven folds and ridges of its cratered surface. Over millennia, rocks have left their indelible marks upon this planet, which has little atmosphere to shield it. Left open to the influence of the sun and space, Mercury can see a temperature range of 1100 degrees Fahrenheit or 600 degrees Celsius in a single day. Sunrise brings with it the scorching heat of the sun, just 43 million miles away. The day is hot and bright. With sunset comes powerful darkness and chill. Hidden away from the warmth of the sun's rays, the surface dives far beyond an Arctic cold. Mercury is guided by the great pendulum swing of night and day. The shifting tides of temperature envelop this planet completely. In your pod, you are snug and cozy. The vast and wild changes happening below you are left to the imagination as you gaze in wonder at the barren surface of this small orb. It's easy to see how this planet earned its name. For the Greek god Hermes, or Mercurius in Latin, messenger of the gods. Mercury is the intermediary between gods and humans, between the great sun and the planets of this system. It stands sentinel, first to feel the heat and pull, looking out toward its fellow planets as they perform their well-rehearsed motions around a common anchor. But it is time to bid farewell to Mercury now, as you continue your journey of exploration. Your pod retraces its path across space. You pass beautiful Venus, and then your great blue home. And after that, you arrive at the red planet. Though Venus is sister to Earth, it is Mars we look to for inspiration and familiarity. It is Mars that has felt the rumbling tread of little rovers as they drive across its dusty surface. It is Mars that bears their tracks, those winding footprints of our robotic scouts. Mars, god of war, stands crimson in the night sky. But despite its formidable name, it is a welcoming planet compared to many in our system. It is iron in the surface that gives the planet its rusty hue. Like Earth, there are mountains and valleys, and vast plains dotted here and there with boulders. But where our home has crystal water and verdant growth, Mars has only red ground. The mountains of Mars are large and imposing. Its highest peak, Olympus Mons, is the tallest mountain in the solar system. If you were to stand in its foothills and look up, you would strain to see the top, sitting three times as high as Mount Everest. Its height is matched only by the Great Rift of Valles Marineris, the deepest valley in the solar system. Cutting a vast cleft across the surface, this system of valleys is 6 miles deep. If you were to stand on the edge and look down, you would see a great burnt orange shaft more than 5 times the depth of the Grand Canyon. Looking out across the Martian landscape, you would see valleys cover a distance as great as Australia from end to end. But although these natural features are amplified on Mars, it is otherwise quite similar to our home planet. Falling asleep here would lead you to a standard night, unlike the months of darkness on Venus. And daytime would be familiar too. The seasons change in concert with our own. Perhaps this is why we look to this place, so alike Earth in many respects, and wonder what secrets it holds. Does its rusty surface have the key to understanding life at home? When humans make their way by spacecraft out of Earth's atmosphere in the future, they will train their eyes on Mars. Someday, we will walk upon this planet. Another giant leap for our species in this wondrous solar system we call home. But now, it's time to move on to new landscapes. Your pod is safe and secure as you make your way through the asteroid belt. The vast expanse of rock and debris that divides the orbits of Mars and Jupiter. It is here, in this jumble of hard matter, that you come across the dwarf planet Ceres. At nearly 590 miles in diameter, it is the largest object in the asteroid belt. It is rounded by its own gravity and has long been at the heart of a debate over what constitutes a planet in its own right. For many years, scientists mused that there might be a missing planet between Mars and Jupiter. And then, on New Year's Day, 1801, a priest and astronomer from the Academy of Palermo in Sicily spotted this mysterious bit of matter. It was not orbiting another planet, so it couldn't be a moon. It was orbiting the Sun, like all the other planets in the system. But it was small and scrappy and hidden among asteroids following the same path. And so, it was dubbed a dwarf planet, a little round traveller making its way through space and time, neither leader nor follower. It is joined here in this expanse by its large asteroid cousins, Vesta, Pallas, and Hygieia. Together, they mark the divide between Earth's near neighbours and the planets farther from the Sun. The next stop on your journey is the fifth planet, Jupiter. As you pass through the thick tinkling curtain of tiny asteroids, you see the mighty gas giant fill the glass of your viewing window. Named for the great sky father and king of the gods, Jupiter stands colossal, the largest planet of them all. It is a place of winds and storms, of swirling gases, and the ever-shifting nature of a damp sunset watercolour on canvas. There is no surface for you to stand on. To see Jupiter is to gaze from above and mark the patterns it has come to be known for. There, below the midsection, is the great red spot, where persistent high pressure has produced an anticyclonic storm. Like a mammoth hurricane, these apricot clouds twist in on themselves, churning round and round in an oval, as they've done for hundreds of years. Beneath this imposing spot sits the elegant string of pearls. Delicate as a necklace, these pearls are storms of white and cream that roll like marbles across the southern hemisphere. Watching the trickster image of this planet, it seems as though its face transforms with every passing moment. There is nothing static about Jupiter. Change is in its nature, and the sands of time craft a unique picture marked in centuries. Bands of clay and eggshell, cantaloupe and bronze, twist around this mighty ball. Some move left and some move right, pushed by the great winds that shape this place. Its motions mesmerize you as you watch them from your pod. But there, out of the corner of your eye, you spot another object worth investigating. Ganymede is the largest moon in the solar system. Larger than the planet Mercury, Ganymede sits barren and silver in Jupiter's orbit. Its entrapment in the pull of the gas giant is what makes this great sphere a moon rather than a planet of its own. It is accompanied in its rotations by more than 70 other moons. Some have names, and some are still waiting to learn what they'll be called. But four of these are special in their own right. They are the Galilean moons, and were the very first satellites discovered in the 1600s by Galileo after the Earth's own. Ganymede is one, as is Callisto, whose ancient craters sparkle on its surface. They are joined by Io, colourful and volcanic. Jupiter's mighty gravity has created solid tides on its surface, with great peaks and valleys. It has an oil slick quality, with the colours of citrine, amethyst, and ruby, that blend together in bright patterns. And then, at last, there's Europa. It appears frosted, with slender tracks, like those left by the blade of a skate on a frozen pond. Indeed, its surface is made of ice, with what might be slow-moving slush below. This watery mystery of a moon has long intrigued scientists. Could there be a place below its chilled crust where life could thrive? With this question lingering in your mind, you and your pod begin to move on. It's time to see the ringed wonder that is the sixth planet. Saturn perches stoic and reserved in orbit after Jupiter. It's earned its name for the Roman god of wealth and agriculture. You cannot imagine any crops swimming about its gaseous body. But with its refined surface, the colour of wheat, and elegant rings, you can see a richness here, unlike the other planets you've encountered. Your pod is secure as you gently nudge it within the boundaries of Saturn's rings. Made of ice and rocky particles, these rings hold their position around the planet's middle, like a bright halo. If Earth had rings like Saturn, they would be visible throughout the day and night, an imposing pathway across the sky. From the equator, they would appear as a bright line dividing the sky in two. If you were to travel north or south, they would seem to grow thicker and move to one side or another. Looking up from New York, the rings would be like a great white bridge, tracing an arc above the clouds. And from the southerly Tropic of Capricorn, they would make a monochrome rainbow, rising from the ocean and falling once again beneath the waves. If you were to lay back in a boat at midnight, bobbing freely with the current, you might see the Earth itself cast a dark shadow across the middle of the rainbow. How spectacular it would be to see the planet reflected in its own rings. Looking out from your pod, you can see the many satellites that orbit Saturn. There's the great moon Titan, spinning like a perfectly round ball. It too is larger than Mercury and has a dense atmosphere protecting its surface. Alongside Titan stands irregular Hyperion. Shaped more like a potato than a sphere, it is one of the many moons that might not look how you'd expect. It may have once belonged to a larger moon, broken apart by a massive impact generations ago. Together, Titan and Hyperion are trapped in an uneven choreography, speeding up and slowing down as they pass in the night. The smaller of the two tumbles its way through space, tossed erratically by the influence of its larger counterpart. From the comfort of your pod, you can only imagine what it would be like, eternally dancing to the music of another moon, following steps you've never known. It is time to leave the majestic rings of this elegant planet and move on to the ice giant, Uranus. While Uranus and brother Neptune are both gas planets, they stand apart from Saturn and Jupiter in composition. With slushy mantles and icy, rocky cores, both of these blue planets have earned their distinction as ice giants at the cold outer reaches of the solar system. Happy to be warm and comfortable in your pod, you gaze down at the seventh planet's surface. From here, it looks like a sphere of polished aquamarine, the colour of a shallow pool on a hot summer's day. At times, it appears shrouded in a dusky hue, but always a shade of blue-green and smooth as stone. It was named for the primal Greek god of the sky, son and partner of Gaia, or Mother Earth. Floating here, out beyond the confines of the inner system, this planet has an austere quality to it. It is timeless in its smooth motion around the sun. Like Neptune, it seems painted from a colder palette than those with the warmer hues on planets nearer the center. There are no oranges or reds to be found here in the outermost arcs. Being so distant from its anchor in space, it takes this bluish sphere more than 30,000 days to trace its path around the sun. A single Uranian year lasts about the same amount of time as 84 Earth years. By the time you'd had your first birthday on this striking planet, you'd have lived many decades back home. It is a sleepy orb resting on its side as it slowly traverses the vastness of space. But this reclining posture lends itself to the most extreme seasons in the whole of the solar system. Many Earth years pass by in darkness or light for its far-flung regions. Its lateral tilt plunges one of its poles into perpetual summer as it faces the sun for 21 years, marked in our time. Meanwhile, the opposite pole is sent into 21 years of Uranian winter. Spring and autumn pass with their more moderate qualities, but always with another striking season on the horizon. From here, it's not far to travel to reach Neptune, god of the sea. Looking out the window of your pod, you marvel at the deep blue planet before you. Supersonic winds dominate its atmosphere, which is dark, cold, and inhospitable. Relentless gusts whip across this ice giant, which meanders around the distant sun only once every 165 Earth years. You are happy to be tucked away in your pod, able to gaze upon this azure giant from the comfort of your own seat. So far from our sun is Neptune, that if you could stand upon it and look up into the sky at midday, you would only be greeted by a dim twilight. Darkness reigns as the hours pass on this remote planet. Aquatic nymphs and gods of water lend their names to the moons of Neptune. Triton and Thalassa circle the planet, singing their mysterious song to Naiad and Nereid trailing behind. But while this cobalt mass might seem to mark the end of your journey, there's one more place yet to explore. You direct your pod away from Neptune, watching its cerulean winds fade into a distant speck in the window behind you. Here, beyond the last full planet, you find yourself in the Kuiper Belt. Icy bits of matter have collected here in a twinkling donut-shaped cloud that marks a new frontier at the far reaches of the solar system. The Kuiper Belt is made of the remnants of millennia, a vast collection of trans-Neptunian objects that trace the history of this part of space. It is the fabric of eons, a place that leads you to hearken back to the mysteries of deep time and look ahead to the wonders the future holds. And here, amidst the millions of icy specks in this disk encircling our planets, lies perhaps the most beloved object of them all. Pluto, ruler of the underworld, keeper of the deep. Its long and storied past has left stargazers wondering what makes a distant sphere so meaningful to people far away on Earth. To some, it has been and will always be the ninth planet in our solar system. To others, that is not its rightful place. To you, looking down at this curious little world from the comfort of your pod, you think the current classification seems to fit. It is a dwarf planet, small and mighty, and more fascinating than many ever imagined. Pluto orbits the Sun at the incredible distance of 3.5 billion miles. This is about 40 times further away from the Sun than the Earth, and the space between is marked by the time the sun's light takes to reach it. If a ray of light left the sun at breakfast, it would be well past lunch by the time it arrived, although it would have travelled 186,000 miles per second. It is hard to imagine a distance so great or a speed so fast. This is a realm of mystery for those who will never have the chance to see it. How easy it is, you realize, to lose yourself while contemplating the vastness of this place. But if you return to the here and now, you find yourself above a spectacular dwarf planet. It appears to be the colour of clay, with a wide swath of dark red extending halfway around the equator. This massive colour is the feature known as Cthulhu, for the mythological creature with an octopus head. As fantastical as this place may appear from above, it would be even more so on the surface. Were you to travel across the length and breadth of Pluto, you might see a truly wondrous sight, like something out of a fairy tale. Imagine for a moment deep red plains leading to mountains as tall as the Rockies. There, in the distance, is a heart-shaped glacier, hundreds of miles wide. Above you, blue skies give way to midday twilight. Standing atop a mountain peak, you see the diverse landscape spreading out before you. Patches of ice dot the horizon. Around you, red snowflakes drift to the ground. This is Pluto, dwarf planet in the Kuiper Belt, orbiting the Sun from its distant place among scattered ice and rock, with blue skies and red snow. And there, in the sky above, stands mighty Charon, ferryman who leads souls across the waters of the River Styx. This is the largest moon of Pluto, half the size of the planet itself. These two creatures of the underworld are like double planets, moving in tandem, orbiting one another in an endless pirouette. Here, from your pod, you see the two. What if Earth had a moon like Charon? The two would move around the Sun in perpetual lockstep, pulling each other through space like partners of the sky. As you think of Earth and home, you understand your journey tonight has come to an end. Beyond this threshold lie the most remote parts of our solar system. There are comets and ice clusters, dust and space. And there, 80 billion miles away, is the planetoid Sedna, named for the Inuit mother of the sea. Sedna lies at the farthest reaches of our system, a mystery to be explored another night. And so, you cozy up in your pod and aim for home. You lay back and watch as stars shimmer across the black curtain of space. Some of these stars have solar systems of their own, many quite different from the one you've come to know. You wonder how many have planets like Jupiter, which dominate their orbital realm, and how many have planets like elegant Saturn, with rings like halos in the night sky? Perhaps there are other dwarf planets out there, like Pluto or Ceres, or asteroid belts curving around their tracks through space. And maybe, just maybe, there's a planet like Earth, with water and grass and bright summer sunshine that helps things grow. With fond memories dancing across your mind, and 1,000 tiny stars twinkling like nightlights to guide you home, you fall into a deep and contented sleep.